Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6, says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word, and we are your people. God, we have come here into this place, Lord, and we know, Lord, that the church is more than a building, but God, we have come into this building because it is holy ground. And God, we have come into this place expecting that you are going to show up and expecting that you are going to speak to our hearts and our lives. And God, we're grateful for the ministry we've already received through the altar and through praise and worship. Lord God, we're thankful, Lord God, for all that you've already done. But God, we still have a desire to hear from heaven. So God, we ask by the power of Jesus' name that you would open up our ears and our hearts and our minds. Allow us, Lord God, to receive from you whatever you have for us. So that, God, we may be truly changed by the power of your creative word, and that, Lord, we may go forth from this place today knowing we've been not only in the presence of God, but close enough that we could hear him whisper into our hearts. So, God, in Jesus' name, anoint every aspect of this message and let it do a great work in us that we might do a great work for you. And God, will give you all of the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning on a simple subject. I want to talk to you about good things or God things. Good things or God things. I want to encourage you to hold out for God's blessed best. There's a lot of people that we get good things and we get stuck with good things, and good things are good. But it doesn't mean that they're always God things. God things are always better than good things. I don't know if you know that or not. One of the problems that we have in churches is we take the good things that God gave us before and we hold on to them, and we don't want to let them go when he wants to do something new. And we get so stuck on the good things that we end up missing the God things. So it's possible that even some God things that we choose to hold on to can become good things. And the new God things that he wants to do, we might just miss out on. And so we're going to look this morning at what happened with Paul and with Luke and John Mark and all these others, Barnabas, that were with him, and how that God had to deal with them so that they would not miss a God thing. Can you say amen? It told us in the passage here that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark and Luke, they were forbidden to preach in Asia. Let me ask you something. Is preaching a good thing? I know we've got some preachers that might be questionable, but for the most part, preaching is a good thing, right? It's a good thing to do. But yet the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to preach in Asia. Now, we know that Paul will go back to Asia later and he'll preach. We know that churches will grow in Asia. We know that some of the greatest theologies that will ever come into the church come from the area of Asia. But on this occasion, as Paul is getting ready to preach, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, essentially, Paul, preaching's a good thing, but right now it's not a God thing. You know what? People seem to think today that the purpose for the church is so that you can come together and hear somebody preach. And that's a good thing. But that's not the purpose of the church. Some people think the purpose of the church is to come together and listen to people sing, and maybe every now and then see somebody dance. And they think, you know, that's the purpose of the church. Or come together and see your friends and your loved ones and have a really great time together. But you know what? That's not the purpose of the church. Those are all good things. But that's not why we exist. Why do we exist? Well, we exist. Jesus said He was going to send us so that we would be teachers and evangelists and pastors and prophets, so that we would go out and we would make a difference in people's lives outside the building. As a matter of fact, the original church didn't have a building. And we've gotten to the place now where the buildings are a good thing. But sometimes the buildings aren't even a God thing anymore. We need to be very careful that we don't get so stuck on good things that we miss the God things. The church exists because we are supposed to be making disciples of all men. Now the church should be a place to do that. Preaching should be a tool to do that. Worship should be a tool to do that. But that's not the sole purpose for the church, each of those areas. They all work together. And when they're not working together to develop disciples, then guess what? We're holding on to a good thing and we're missing the God thing. Not only did Paul find that he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit, forbidden to preach in Asia, but he said, well, we'll go on to Bithynia. We'll go into Bithynia and we'll get to Bithynia. We'll be able to minister in Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit would not permit him to enter Bithynia. You know what? There's a lot of good things that we could do, a lot of great places that we could go. We could go down onto Highway 60 and we could go out and set up our picket signs out in front of the strip clubs and we could just go around saying, I shall not be moved until every single one of those places is closed down. We could do that and that would be a good thing. But the media would show up and they'd take pictures of it. And they'd say, okay, now how come you're picketing all of the people at the strip clubs on Highway 60, but you're not picketing the crack house right down the street from your church? We could go out and we could prayer walk the streets again. And I actually believe we need to do that again. We did that a few years ago. God bless. Right now, a lot of the revival that's beginning to take place in Huntington is a direct result of the prayer walks that we took with Encouragers Fellowship. And a lot of the things that are going on, it's a direct result. But you know what? If you go out there and you begin to walk into a community and God hasn't put it in your spirit that you really need to be there, you might be opening yourself up for all kinds of problems. You see, there's a lot of places that we could go. There's a lot of things that we could do. There's a lot of churches that are looking for whatever the next program is. We're going to get into this next program. We're going to enter into this next program. And boy, we're going to go after it. We're going to do our best with the program. And we get so gung-ho about the program. And after we get halfway into the program, nothing's happening. We stop and we give it up. Why? Because we entered into something that the Holy Spirit didn't give us permission to enter into. It's a good thing. And in some places, they work. But sometimes good things are not always God things. So here's Paul. He's been forbidden to preach in Asia. He's a preacher and he's been forbidden to preach. And not forbidden by the people, he's been forbidden by God. Here's Paul and he wants to enter into Bithynia and do a work and the Holy Spirit is not permitting him in. So what does he do? He goes to Troas, and there in Troas, he begins to just wait on God. And in the middle of the night, he has a night vision. Some translations say he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this man from Macedonia saying, will you please come and help us? And one of the things you need to remember when we talk about these different regions, these different areas, there were cities that were associated with these areas, but by and large, they did not have geographical boundaries. They did not have like a separation. You're stepping out of Macedonia and you're going into another nation now. It was nations without borders. Macedonians could travel anywhere and they were still Macedonians. That was just the way that it was. And so what we're finding here is not just Paul receiving a word to go into a specific area, but he's receiving a word to go into a specific culture because they need him in that culture. And so now here is Paul, who's been raised as a Jew, who has sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who has learned everything there is to know about the Jewish religion. He's a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He's been a teacher. He's even gone out and tried to put Christians to death to be a good Jew. And now he's coming to a place where God is saying all these other areas, they're good things. It would have been a good thing to go and preach in Asia. It would have been a good thing to go and preach in Bithynia. But that's not where I want you to go. There's another culture that I want you to reach out to. And it's the culture of Macedonia. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He instead sends Paul to Macedonia. Now this is what I want you to pay attention to. Preaching in Asia would have been a good thing, but it would not have been a God thing. Entering into Bithynia would have been a good thing, but it would not have been a God thing. But as a result of waiting on God, God showed up and he instead sends him to Macedonia. Now, when he'd go into the other communities, he'd go into the synagogues, he'd go into maybe a group where there might be already some Christians, and it made it a little bit easier for him. Doesn't mean that it was all, you know, roses, but he had a little bit of an easier time in many of those areas. When he goes into Macedonia, he's going to end up having some of his biggest conflicts that he's ever going to face in his life. And yet, he knows with certainty that this is where God wants him to go. Now, if you read on down there in Acts chapter 16, you're going to find out what happens when he gets into Macedonia. He comes into Macedonia, and the first thing that happens is he meets a woman by the name of Lydia. She's a woman, she's of a different culture, and she is one of the leaders in her community. And Paul gets to share with her the Word of God, and the next thing you know, not only is Lydia receiving Christ, but her whole household, all of her family gets saved, and now they're all baptized, and now they're supporting Paul's ministry. I want you to see how that this worked. If Paul had gone and preached in Asia, good things probably would have happened, but not God things. If he had gone into Bithynia, good things would have happened, but not God things. But because he waited and he listened for the voice of the Spirit to tell him to go to Macedonia, when he got to Macedonia, God things started happening. And now Lydia, who makes all of these purple garments and these purple raiment that is going to be sold all throughout the region, now this very influential person has come and given her life to Christ, her whole family with her, and now they're all serving Jesus and they're supplying the needs of the preachers that are coming into Macedonia. He has a home base now in Macedonia that he can always come back to. And he's going to have to come back there from time to time because he's going to have problems ahead of him. But if he had not listened to God, he would have become so wrapped up and what he thought was the right thing to do, that Lydia and her family never would have received Christ, and Macedonia never would have been discipled. We have to be able to differentiate between good things and God things, or else we may miss out on the Lydias and their households. You see, Jesus doesn't just want us four and no more. He wants every single person that has ever been born into this world. He wants them all. And the blood of Jesus is more than enough to pay for every single one. So we have to be careful to make sure we don't miss the Lydias. Because if you miss the Lydias, you may have a good thing, but you'll be missing out on the God thing. Let me show you a few things here. First thing, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit. You have to be sensitive to the Spirit. I know a lot of preachers that they make their plans and they get everything together and they're going to do whatever it is that they've decided that they're going to do. I know a lot of people that are not preachers that are the same way. Hello? We put together all of our plans. We got it all modeled out there. This is the direction we're going to go. This is how we're going to live our lives. These are the things that are going to go on. Do we leave any room for the Spirit to speak into our situation and to speak to us so that maybe if we're going down the wrong trail, He can back us up and show us the right way to go? Or are we so caught up in our own plans, our own wants, our own wishes, that we're going to go ahead and do whatever we want and forget about anybody else? We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that He can speak into whatever moment we are going through, and we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the God who rules the universe is speaking to us about how He wants to rule our lives. Romans 8 and 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Did you hear that? I mean, I want you to really come to grips with this. We as Pentecostals, we always like to talk about how the Spirit prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One of the problems that we have is speaking in tongues is an utterance, and the groanings that cannot be uttered are not the same necessarily as speaking in tongues. You ready to stone me yet? All right, listen. What Paul is saying is sometimes we don't even know how to pray because we don't know the will of God. Sometimes we do, but many times we don't. And he said, so we got to get to the place with the Holy Spirit where we are so sensitive to Him that He can speak into our hearts whatever it is that we need to know. How many of you know you don't know it all? Why do we have to have the Spirit speaking to us? Because Paul said the Spirit knows the mind of God. The Spirit knows what Jesus is interceding for on your behalf. Why? Because it's Jesus' Spirit, folks. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if He dwells in your heart, He will quicken you. Anybody could stand a little bit of quickening this morning? Anybody can stand a little bit of new life this morning? That's what it means to be quickened. Amen? Now, I want you to really get a feel for this. The Holy Spirit is there in our lives. If we're not sensitive to Him, there's no way we can really know the will of God. You might accidentally fall into it. Oh, but Brother Darrell, God is God and He can do whatever He wants to do. He's in charge of all things. And there's no way I can withstand what God's will is. There's something you don't understand from history. God had a will for the people of Israel, and He still does to this day. He has a will for the people of Israel. He has a will, a plan for the city of Jerusalem. But you know what? Every time that they got away from the plan, He sent them through judgment, got rid of entire generations, and then brought back a new generation to start over again. Yes, He will be faithful to His promises. Yes, He will do everything He said He's going to do. Yes, He is God, and He is still in control, and He's got it all together. But at the end of the day, if you are not the one who God does it in, He'll find somebody else to do it through. If you are not going to be the generation that sees this church change and sees this church full and sees God's blessing coming, guess what? After you're dead, the next generation will, and I plan on sticking around that long. Ouch. Sorry. Listen. God has a plan, and He has a will, and He has a design. And He can either hold on to the good things, or you can hold on to the God things. But even down the road, as God begins to unfold those God things for you, He may have to make some changes and some transitions. And if you keep on holding to yesterday's God things, they just become good things. You got to hold on to what God has for you today. And the only way you can do that is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Darrell. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10, Paul said, God has revealed mysteries to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. The Holy Spirit knows it all. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man is there that knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, the Spirit that is in God. If you want to know the things of God, you got to have His Spirit. Amen? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Paul goes on in verse 13 and says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy, what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You can try to figure out spiritual using your carnal wisdom all you want. You're never going to scratch the surface. The only way to understand the spiritual things is to have the Spirit of God operating in your life. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Our carnal nature is not able to completely understand everything. Apologetics is great. You know what apologetics are? That's when you try to argue your point. And the Christian church, the evangelical church, for the past 50 years, they've been focusing on apologetics, proving that we're right, proving that everyone else is wrong. You know what? You don't have to do that. What you need is to let the Holy Spirit come into your life so that you can be sensitive to Him, and He will approve. But that means we've got to get ourselves out of the way. That means we've got to stop focusing on going and preaching in Asia or going into Bithynia. We have to sit and spend time in the Spirit until He can speak to us and say, hey, Macedonia is the culture I want you to reach out to. Are you still with me? The second thing that I want to point out to you, not only do you need to be sensitive to the Spirit, you need to be obedient to the Spirit. You have to obey what He tells you to do. There's a lot of people that seem to think, well, you know what? I disobeyed when the Holy Spirit told me to do this, but He'll still speak to me and tell me what God's will is, and then I'll be okay. It doesn't work that way. If you want to know God's will, you got to do what He's already told you to do. I can't tell you the number of times that people call me up on the phone and say, Brother Darrell, I need you to pray with me because I need to know God's will for my life. I need to know what God's will is in this situation or in this circumstance. And one of the first questions I want to ask them, and I don't always ask it, maybe I should anyway, is, well, you know, I'd be more than happy to pray for you about God's will for your life, but why haven't you been in church for 2 years? I'm glad you're calling me. I'm glad you trust me enough to pray with you about this, but where have you been? It's kind of hard for you to be able to discern what God's will is when you're not obeying the Spirit. Holy Spirit moves on your heart that you're supposed to give so much to this missionary or so much to this evangelist. Maybe the Holy Spirit just deals in your life that you're supposed to be in church when we have a revival. Maybe the Holy Spirit deals in your life and says, you know what? The church is now having noontime prayer meetings on Thursday and you need to be there. You got to obey what the Spirit is telling you. Otherwise, every single thing the Lord wants to tell you stops right there. See, it's like this. I will trust my children with the things that I know they are obedient in. I will trust Joshua. I'll use him as the best example because he's the one who's been around the longest. He's the one that I can get the best examples from. I can trust Joshua to watch Melody for 2 minutes. But when that third minute rolls around, I can't trust him. Why? Because in that third minute, I know that he's not really going to be obeying me. He's going to be following after whatever he wants to do. So I'm good for 2 minutes. But I'm not about to say, Joshua, will you watch her for 30 minutes? Why? Because he hasn't proved that I can trust him with that, because he hasn't been able to break through that 3-minute barrier. There's so many other things that I could say. Joshua, I'm going to trust you to make your bed. Well, that's great, but I'd love to be able to trust him to clean his room. So would Monica. Each one of us are not going to go any farther listening to what the Spirit has to say until we're being obedient with what He's already told us to do. Do you believe that? Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and John are brought in front of the council. They're being told, stop preaching in Jesus' name. Stop doing these things. Stop performing miracles. Stop praying and seeing people healed. Stop all of it. And Peter says in Acts 5, 29, says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. You see, we have to obey God, because if we don't obey God, we won't have the Holy Spirit. We have to obey God, because if we don't obey God, we're not going to be able to be witnesses for God. We have to obey whatever the Spirit says. So you have to be sensitive to the Spirit. We have to be obedient to the Spirit. And finally, you have to be open to the Spirit. Technically speaking, I probably should have put this one at the beginning, but I just felt like I needed to have it at the end. You have to be open to the Spirit. However the Holy Spirit is going to move in your life, you have to be open to that, because He might move differently in you than He moves in me. As I shared at the celebration service after the divine experiment, when the Holy Spirit started moving and Bishop Martin was over here dancing and I'm right there in front of him and we're dancing and we look like mirror images. As I shared there, I was really struggling because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me in a way that I knew He wasn't dealing with other folks in that room. And as I said there, I struggled because I had Anglicans sitting right behind me. And I didn't know how they were going to respond. All that I knew was the Holy Spirit kept on prodding me to dance. And so I kept on saying, well, maybe I can go in the back and close the door and get back into that little area going up to the balcony and I can dance back there and nobody will know. I'm arguing with the Spirit. But God, there are people here who don't understand this kind of thing. Bishop Martin, on the other hand, he says, I don't care if people understand or not. And he just starts dancing and just having a wonderful time. And the Holy Spirit says, see, look. I said, okay, God. And I got right to it. But the point is, the Holy Spirit moves differently on different people. Some of us, it's a deep work. And we just sit there and we weep, or we sit there and we meditate. And that's fine. If the Holy Spirit's moving in your life when you're doing that, do it. But if the Holy Spirit begins to prod you to do something else, you need to be open to that. For some of us, the Holy Spirit comes on us and we just want to shout. And we want to jump and we want to dance and we want to run the aisles. And if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do it, do it. But if the Holy Spirit's telling you to be still and to listen for that still small voice, you need to be open to that. The fact of the matter is, we as a church nearing the end of times have got to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly than even Peter and John and Paul heard it all those years ago. Why? Because we're nearer to the end. And we're at a place now where there are more distractions than there were back then. I know the root of the distraction is the same, but it's on a completely different level. We live in what is called the postmodern age. And there are so many different things that are trying to attract the attention not only of Christians, but of non-Christians. And if we're not careful, we're going to become so distracted that we're not going to be open to what the Spirit wants to do, because we won't even know the Spirit wants to do anything. We've got to be open. So that when the Holy Spirit comes in, if He wants to move in a quiet way, that's all right. Move in a quiet way. If He wants to move in a loud way, that's all right. Let Him move in a loud way. We're not going to get upset. We're not going to be offended. We're not going to go and hide. We're going to let God be God, and we're going to give Him the glory, the praise, and the honor that is due His name. But we're going to be open. As we begin to make transitions and as we begin to see changes taking place in this church, as this church continues to grow, yes, it's growing. And as this church continues to grow, there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to have to take place. You know, this church went through a lot of changes in the 80s, began to try and make itself so that it no longer looked like it was right out of the 1950s. But guess what? We're right back into the 1950s again. A survey was done with the Churches of God, and they said, guess what? The Church of God is on the cutting edge for the 1950s. If we're going to move into a new generation and we're going to reach the lost, because that's the whole reason we're here, we're not just to placate everybody, make them feel good till they die. That's what hospice house is for. If we are going to reach the lost and make a difference, we got to let go of some of the good things and let God begin to speak to us about the God things so that we can be able to make that transition a little bit easier. Otherwise, it's going to be like the new wine being put into the old wineskins. And we're going to keep losing the new wine. We've got to be able to let go of those things that they were God things years ago, but now they're just good things and they're in the way. And if we don't let go of them, then we're going to stand before God. And God is going to judge us because we let things keep us from people. We've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Just because the Holy Spirit moves on me differently than He moves on you doesn't mean that God's not really moving and pastor's putting on a show. Just because God moves in you differently than He moves on me doesn't mean that maybe you're not as spiritual. And just because the next generation, God moves on them in a different way, in a way that we didn't see it in our past, in our childhood, when we were that generation, doesn't mean that it's not of God. At some point in time, we need to really honestly ask God the question, what are the good things that I'm holding on to that are keeping me from taking hold of the God things that you want to bring? What is it that our church is holding on to that's a good thing, but it's distracting us from reaching the people, which is the God thing that we have been left on this earth to do? And you know what? It may be that God ends up forbidding us to preach for a while. It may be that God forbids us to go, or does not permit us to go into certain areas that we've been wanting to go into for a while. But we can rest assured that even if it means in the middle of the night season, in a different time, in a different way, God is going to show up and He's going to give us that call. Most of the time when we look at the Macedonian call, because our church is so small, we look at it and we say, oh God, send out a Macedonian call so that people will come into our church and help us. And man, I pray that all the time because we need more workers. We need more help. So many of us, we feel like we've already done all that we can do and we can't do anymore. But God's not done with you yet. That's why you're still here. Truth of the matter is, and this is something that's been really hard, everything that we need is already here. The problem is, we don't want to be open to the Spirit, sensitive to the Spirit, and obedient to the Spirit to go ahead and do what we need to do. It's time to let go of the good things and let God bring the God things. And when we do, everything is going to change. But it'll be God. And He'll bring peace. Yes, in Macedonia, Paul's going to have to put up with a bunch of stuff. Paul and Silas are going to be thrown in jail in Macedonia. They're going to be beaten. They're going to be bruised. They're going to be looked down upon. But they're in Macedonia because they don't get their eyes off of Jesus, because they know that's where God brought them to. They know that at some point in time, God's going to send them back to Lydia's house because God's orchestrating the events. Even in the midst of that horrible time and all the conflict they have to endure, God shows up in the middle of the jail and He breaks off their bonds and He causes the doors to open up and He saves everybody who's in the jail. jail, and the jailer and his family are all baptized, and the church begins to grow in Macedonia as a result. It doesn't mean it's all going to be great and fun, and it's going to be a bed of roses, but this is what we know. If it's a God thing, God's going to be with us, and He's going to help us through. We've just got to be willing to let go of the good thing so that we can receive the God thing. Are you with me this morning? Are you ready to let go of the good thing so that God can bring a God thing?